This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt should say host, but also realtors with Oakwin Realty in downtown Vancouver. Super fired up for today because we've got a brand new survey that was just released by RE/MAX across Canada.
Right, a new ledger survey commissioned by RE/MAX Canada, Adam.
Right.
Halfway through 2025, RE/MAX wanted to find out what were the deal breakers for potential Canadian homebuyers at this moment.
Totally.
So it's specific to, I'd say, a down market.
Yeah.
And it's specific to Canada. And a lot of it has implications for both buyers and sellers in Vancouver, as we discuss.
Yeah, Matt, this was a really fascinating survey. I think there's going to be lots of takeaways for both home buyers and sellers, anybody in the industry. I feel like it helped contextualize a few things that we've been dealing with in this softer market. But it's also serve as a reminder, I think, for a lot of people. Things to pay attention to, not only when you're buying, but definitely when you're selling. But before we get to that, Matt, of course, this podcast always has this segment that remains nameless. It's the trivia segment
for
the podcast. It sometimes touches on real estate, maybe Vancouver, sometimes BC, sometimes just things random.
Sometimes the Counting Crows.
You're like the Jack Handy of this podcast. All right, let's get some random thoughts out there.
Random thoughts. Well, here's the question this week, Adam. I had to complicate this because this was big news and something we talked about the other day. So I've made it a little more challenging. Here's the question. Where are property owners having a really bad week after learning their fee simple ownership isn't so simple after all?
Oh,
where? But the question is where?
Where? Oh, I know.
Talk us through this one.
This one's in BC.
This one's in BC, but I'm looking for a specific area, but this is basically the recent court ruling that fee simple property in certain areas of BC that is on
indigenous land
is not valid, that the government didn't have the right to either own it or sell it.
Right. What is going to happen with this?
Well, I think the Attorney General is going to appeal it. That is for sure. But the question, Adam, is where?
Oh,
where?
Yeah. See, I didn't get that far.
Before we get to that, Adam,
yes,
we are sponsored this week by the Zonda Dealmakers event. So listen up if you're in the real estate sector here in Vancouver. You're going to want to hear this. Vancouver Dealmakers is happening Tuesday, September 16th at the Fairmont Waterfront. This is going to be a phenomenal real estate event.
Yeah, Matt, of course, this is again happening September 16th at the Fairmont Waterfront. This is a brand new event that brings together the region's top residential housing developers, builders, and capital experts to break down what's really moving in the market, where the deals are happening, what to expect heading into the fall, and of course, what's going to happen in 2026. All of this is super exciting. You'll hear from people, and none of these names will be new names for people that listen to our podcast.
And we're just highlighting a few.
Well, yeah, here, Neil Crystal, who was just on our show, president and CEO of Polygon Homes, a fantastic speaker, super tapped into the market.
It's called Experience and Intelligence. That's Neil Crystal.
Yeah, Bo Jarvis, of course, is a fan favorite. He's been on the show a number of times, president and CEO of West Group Properties. Cyrus Navabi, we haven't had him on the show, but we've always wanted to have him on the show. Qualex Landmark, he's the president. And then, of course, they've got people from CBRE, Nicola Wealth, CIBC, and so much more. So expect a morning packed with market insights, strategic conversations, network working opportunities. And this is the type of event that you're just not going to get this quality anywhere else. So
Zonda Dealmakers, the Zonda Dealmakers event, Adam, is where you want to see and be seen. This is a networking event, an incredible networking opportunity. The Vancouver Real Estate, here's the best part, Adam. The Vancouver Real Estate Podcast community, listeners of this show can save 25% on tickets by using the promo code VREP25. That's VREP25. Head over to dealmakers.builderonline.com/events/Vancouver to get all the details and register. Or Adam, just Google Vancouver Dealmakers Builder Magazine to register now. And remember that promo code for VREP listeners only, VREP25.
Yeah, Matt. So I'm looking at, I honestly don't have an answer this.
Oh, you're back to the quiz. I thought you were looking for other speakers at the Zonda Dealmakers event.
Okay, Matt. So back to the quiz question. I got to tell you, I didn't get that far in the article.
If it doesn't happen in your own backyard, you don't care. But there's far-reaching implications here, Adam. Where are property owners having a real bad week after learning their fee simple ownership isn't so simple after all? Let me give you a hint. It is in Metro Vancouver. Do you want to take a stab or do you want me just to give you the answer?
Metro Vancouver, eh? Okay. My best guess is Southlands.
Well, yeah. I think Southlands is already Indigenous owned, a lot of it.
A lot of it. Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking an extension. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. That is a good guess, actually. But you're wrong. It was Southeast Richmond.
Okay.
My understanding is that a lot of this is owned. It's kind of the logistics area, industrial area for YVR. A lot of government owned land. But undoubtedly some people that thought they bought their property and owned it indefinitely are scratching their head right now and probably waiting for appeal. That's for sure. Tricky time, interesting time. And maybe we should cut to our talk about the deal breakers.
Yeah.
The top deal breakers.
I wonder if that will be a deal breaker for some.
It might be a deal. That might be number one.
Yeah. Well, here, anyways, let's get to this conversation. Of course, it's just two of us this week.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it immensely.
This podcast is sponsored by Atlin at Clayton Crest, a master plan community in the West Clayton area built by Zentera Developments.
Zentera is an absolute force, Adam. They've been nominated for Multifamily Builder of the Year for 10 consecutive years and just won again at the Georgies for 2025 Multifamily Home Builder of the Year.
What's really exciting about Atlin is the West Clayton location. You're within walking distance to the future SkyTrain station, giving you that perfect balance of city access while living in a peaceful, family-friendly community in the Fraser Valley.
And if you have kids or are planning to start a family, there's an on-site daycare where residents get first access. This kind of thoughtful planning is why Zentera's projects stand out in the market.
The amenities at Atlin are incredible too, Matt. A rooftop patio with stunning views, fitness center, co-working space, and lounge areas for events. The outdoor space is extensive with 2 fitness areas, 3 children's play areas, and multiple spots to relax.
With major investments happening in the SkyTrain and the 72nd Avenue extension, West Clayton is set for explosive growth. This is genuinely one of those opportunities to invest in a community before values skyrocket.
And that's really the key here. This isn't just about finding a beautiful place to live. It's about making a smart investment in your future as the whole area continues to develop.
Pre-sales for Atlin will begin soon. Register today at atlincondos.ca. That's atlincondos.ca.
Okay, Matt, so we're in the studio. It is the AC unit has broken in our office.
What here. A time to be alive.
And it's funny, I was talking to a client of mine yesterday and her point was, does the AC ever break when it's not like a heat wave? Like, are you ever calling an HVAC guy to fix your AC when it's like moderate climate? Probably not.
Yeah, it's interesting that way. I feel like it literally went down. We were talking before, you know, this week. And it means that the week's basically a write-off because you come in, you immediately get angry and then you get tired. And then you basically leave.
Yeah.
But it's hard
taken
to even
so many cat naps.
It's hard to even respond to an email with this heat. So there's a reason we don't have a guest in the studio is what we're trying to say.
And I'm just for listeners at home, we're both in muscle shirts. We're both in tank tops.
Paint a picture.
Yeah. This is an interesting thing that we're actually going to be going over. It's the REMAX survey. What's really stopping buyers is basically they're looking at deal breakers that buyers experience. And they've taken basically a poll of
prospective home buyers across the country.
Yeah, across the country. And really what they're doing is they're getting percentages, and then we're kind of ranking them in by order of importance. And really what we want to do is just go over them. But if there's interesting tidbits that come out of it from on-the-ground experience that can help either buyers or sellers that are listeners.
I think there's good takeaways that come out of this survey from buyers and sellers in the Vancouver, the Metro Vancouver real estate market for sure.
Yeah, we should timestamp this though, because it's an interesting moment here. So it's August 14th, depth of summer. Talk about Canadian real estate rebounding a bit. Have we kind of bottomed? Good question.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that it doesn't feel like the market's really busy right now, partly because we're in August, which that's always the case, but also because, you know, we've been in this lull in the market, and this current heat wave is not helping here or in the market.
So, that's right. So we're going to go through the top 8 deal breakers identified in this survey. So Adam, the number one with 51%.
Yes.
Okay. So more than half of just over half of the respondents cited this as their number one turnoff or deal breaker when they're looking to buy property. Neighboring homes in poor condition.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So let's break it down first in like maybe for detached, and then we can talk about multifamily, because I'm guessing a lot of people listening to this show are living in a condo building or a townhouse development. If you hear that in the background, that noise, that's a fan. 15 fans on the go here. Okay, so first of all, Matt, from the detached perspective, you're buying a single family detached home as a buyer.
Yeah, I mean, so this goes back to something I feel like we've talked about on the show before, and is definitely one of those truisms when it comes to real estate. Buy the worst house on the best street.
Yeah.
Right? This is something that I feel like anyone who knows anything about real estate will have heard.
They have that. That advice is right up there with location, location, location.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, in this case, you can see why these types of lines become kind of truisms in the industry and in real estate in general.
Right.
Because when neighboring homes are in poor condition, Adam, as a seller, it's outside your control.
Totally.
You know, in this survey, they talk about, oh, you know, what can you do? Well, you can plant shrubs and try and create privacy and try and obscure, you know, the fact that there's a rotting 1970s Pontiac in the front lawn of your sure. neighbor's house. But fundamentally, there's not much you can do on the sell side. And that's on single family. So as a buyer, you want to be hyper aware of those things that you can't change. It's easy to paint, Adam. It's not so easy to compel your neighbor to get rid of their car.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody that listens to this show too, the one thing that I was thinking about is there's like a handful of, we've had a lot of clients over the years where they just have like a handful of streets in the city that are their favorite streets. And some of them are in like Mount Pleasant West. Some of them are in maybe Grandview. Some of them are in Carisdale, wherever it is, right? But they know these streets, and they're just streets that have either phenomenal tree lines or they're, you know, they have beautiful craftsman houses or whatever it is, but they've just kind of always loved that street. So buying on like a really nice street, it doesn't have to be like a notable street, but you want to be on a great street. And then you want to also be in a really great community or great area, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how nice the house is. If the street is in shambles and the area doesn't work for most people, it's the opposite of what you want. And a lot of people are going to stop right there before they even consider the house.
Exactly. I feel like your current house is instructive.
That I bought the worst house on like a fairly nice street.
Yeah.
I always loved that street, and my wife always loved that street. And it's like a notable street for in terms of like having nicer homes.
It's a notable block,
yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
But your house is on the... It's notable for a few different reasons, but one is there's like a high side of the street as well with kind of nice views. It's on the bike route. It will remain unnamed. We don't want having guests popping by your place. But when you bought it, it was notable that you had a toilet without a door. in your kitchen.
Yeah, the former owner was a really bad cook. I mean, the house was horrible when I bought it, and I didn't have it inspected. It was different times then.
Those were different times.
I got
times.
A pretty high risk tolerance. A lot of mistakes were made along the way, but I'm
education's
expensive. You know what? I'm glad we're all glad we're
but
there.
But hey, listen,
now.
But it's literally instructive in that all of those things are true, but you were able to make the changes that you wanted to the house. Now you have a beautiful house and it's on a block, an incredible block in East Vancouver.
Well, I can
that is
control.
Always highly desirable. But so you literally did what most people here is the deal breaker. You mitigated against.
Well, the takeaway for me is that at least you can control what you do with the property, right? But you can't control anything that's outside of your control is scary in real estate, right? Because I feel like people that love real estate, a lot of them are control freaks. And they want to be able to control what they can control. But also, it gives you more flexibility.
Yeah. And you know what? Actually, I've never thought of that. But I think you're actually absolutely right there. Most people that like real estate are control freaks.
Or they like
the
fact...
come up with that?
No, but I think...
Is that a thing?
No, but I think the reason is that... So why would I invest in real estate over the stock market? And it is that ability to control and shape. And that would drive a lot of people into investing
no,
in real
exactly.
estate. So, I mean... Think about the things that you can control. Think about what you can't control. Try to limit the things you can't control. And if for the things you can control, who cares?
Well, here's the facts, Adam. More than half of the people surveyed will know before they get out of their car or before they enter into the unit, whether it's the right fit or not based on the neighboring homes.
So Matt, this was supposed to be a quick segment and we're still on number one. So let's move on.
Number two, Adam, at 41%, lack of curb appeal.
This is right in there. But this is, again, something that you can control.
Yeah.
I feel like the 20% of the cost of your house should be put into landscaping. That might be a bit, depending on where you are and how much you spent on your home. But you did a major exterior renovation and re-landscaped. And it's like a totally different house now, right?
Yeah.
And it was one of the most cost-effective, in my opinion, ways to transform something. And we've actually had a lot of clients over the past 2 years follow suit in the detached market by doing the same. So by basically saying like, look, I can do siding. I can do the exterior of this house and transform how it's perceived, not only in the neighborhood, but also by potential buyers and myself, how I feel about my home, everything else. But in the strata market, which is a lot of the listeners are going to be talking about condos and townhouse communities, that's got to be a big thing that you look at when you're a buyer coming in. How does the building show?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It makes me think of things you can control and what you can't control. And you're right. This is a lot easier in the single family market where you can modify the exterior of the home fairly easily. It's a fairly cost effective way. In the multifamily space, a little bit harder. I feel like it actually goes back more into the bucket of things you can't control and you have to be hyper vigilant on the way in, making sure that the strata's approach to maintenance, beautification, and the rest aligns with your vision because there's nothing worse. This actually makes me think, Adam, of, you know, we used to dabble in renovations.
Yes.
You used to get very excited by renovations. Not so much anymore.
I still get excited by them. I just don't, I mean, it's a tricky time to renovate.
It's a tricky time to renovate. But what I was going to say is one of the huge concerns, and I feel like we've talked about it on the show before, is buying in a building that doesn't align with your renovation goals. There's a mismatch in the curb appeal, let's say, and also the appeal walking into the common area spaces versus into the unit.
Well, we did one that was the number one feedback that we got when it sat. The renovation was so spectacular and everybody was like, oh my God, I love this renovation. I love this unit. But getting to it, you had to walk through like the 70s, late 70s, early 80s.
Dark,
hallways.
That hallway was dark.
Dark hallways, carpet, smelled like cigarette smoke. And then you go into this like spectacular unit and people couldn't get past the presentation of the building. Here's a story though, just a quick story before we move on. I'm at a townhouse showing about 6 months ago. Spectacular townhouse. We get to the rooftop deck with my clients, buyers, and we look over at the neighboring rooftops. And one of them, which is like butts up against our rooftop.
That's your neighbor you're going to be waving to barbecue to barbecue.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. How you doing, neighbor? Yeah, only half your face showing. So this is, it's covered in dog crap, the whole balcony. Like, and when I say covered, it's like, it's covered in a way that's like almost like half a foot worth of like dog crap across the
now,
entire...
Now, is it in bags?
No, but there is a bag of cans up there as well. I'm not even kidding. So we're sitting there and the worst part was we really liked the unit.
Like, I think they were ready to buy.
I think they were ready to probably write. Had that not... And it's like one of these things. So, you know, would it be a bylaw infraction? Can you get Strata to deal with it? Is it a pain? Is this person an ongoing problem? Is it a tenant? Is it an owner?
Yeah.
Have they always been a problem? And the other challenge is we looked and there was like, nobody was to that extent, but generally speaking, the rooftops... It wasn't like nobody was creating oases.
It wasn't a welcoming environment.
It was not a welcoming environment.
And that's the, you know, first impressions go a long way. Lack of curb appeal. In this case, the common area spaces or even the limited common property where you have to deal with your neighbors in pretty close quarters.
So one thing I would say is here if you're a seller here, I mean, depending on what type of person you are and how much you want to try and control the narrative, but I'd be knocking on that neighbor's door and saying, hey, look, you got to clean up this dog crap because we're putting our place on the market and it benefits everyone. And, you know, or I'd be talking to Strata for something like that. If it was a neighbor in a street, I might say, hey, you know, your 1970s Pontiac that's parked sideways across your lawn. Like, can we move this? You know, like there's, you know,
it's sometimes
if you're a
seller,
you might try to control some of those.
It's worth actually footing the cost for some of those
or helping,
things.
Helping somebody, along, right? Or maybe even have a landscaper show up and cut some grass or do it yourself. But the other thing I was going to say, Matt, is from the perspective of the buyer, when you're going in to look at the property, don't make the mistake of not considering the surroundings, right? How does the building show? What type of neighbors do you think are in this complex? How does the street present? These things have to factor into your decision.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting thing as a final point, the difference between, you know, some of that there's overlap in the single family market and some of there's not the overlap, right? Lack of curb appeal, that smells like a buyer opportunity in the detached market. In the multifamily space, less so, because, you know, you can get on Strata, you can twist people's arms. That sounds like a nightmare. And it sounds like survey says 99% of the time it doesn't work out. So things to note from the first two, Adam, of the deal breakers.
Yeah, first two. All right.
The third deal breaker from the survey. Room sizes were smaller than they appeared in marketing photos. 40%. Adam,
it's a fisheye lens.
40% said they were turned off by rooms being photoed. The photos don't match
the real suite.
This one's a little tricky.
Yeah.
I mean, actually surprised by this.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt, I was a little bit surprised by that as well. Mostly because, I mean, I think, you know, real estate is not exactly rocket science. But the big thing is you want to have exceptional marketing materials, right?
Yeah.
And you want to get people through the door. I'm trying to understand what the alternative is because, okay, so if you have photos that are actually reflective of the space, which sure, I get that, but it suggests the room is small, that person that had that objection is not coming to visit anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do you lose on having good marketing materials?
Well, I was talking to somebody earlier today and I brought it up because, you know, I was like, this one's a little tricky. And they mentioned trust. You know, some sort of trust being broken or you're not being honest, which is somehow, I mean, obviously trust and honesty those are negatives if you're breaking those. But I'd rather have people come and see the space than to rule it out entirely without seeing it.
And I mean, with the hope of not wasting people's times, a lot of our clients over the years on the buy side, they're never disappointed about seeing a space. Like they're like, it always helps frame the process, right? Like there's no escaping doing like pounding the pavement and seeing stuff. You're never going to get the full story online and you always have to come and view. And I think at the end of the day, I think I'd rather have photos that present the the entire room or the best version of that room than photos that maybe in, I mean, it's so subjective. Like what, like to, this room is small in someone's opinion.
It looks smaller than the photo.
And that's subjective as well. I mean, who knows, right?
Also, the fact that 40% call this a deal breaker. I mean, now we're just quibbling with the survey, but isn't that just 40% of the people walked in and went, oh, this room's smaller than I thought it would be. Yeah. This isn't going to work for us. And we're moving on.
You don't spend a lot of time in Yale Town.
There is one point that I would like to make as a listing agent or as a potential seller.
Sure.
Beds.
Yeah. You need beds and rooms.
You need beds and rooms. So often I think this is probably accentuated if a place is virtually staged.
Yeah.
Or the photos show furniture in the room and then it's vacant when somebody comes to see it, because it's not most of the time. It is 100% of the time rooms look smaller without beds in them.
And people's minds think that beds are larger than they actually are. And if any of our clients are listening, I'm sure we do the thing, I don't know if you do this, I do this. I often lie down in rooms to show basically what the length of a bed is, because I think a bed's probably about 2 inches
longer with your arms spread out.
Yeah. I'm a queen. That's what I yell. I'm more like a twin. But here's the thing. It's basically I'm the same length as basically a bed, a queen size bed. But the point, Matt, being that basically when you actually look at the dimensions of a bed in that room, like if you taped it out, if you had a bed in there, you would realize there's actually plenty of room in here to have a queen size bed or whatever most people don't. It's hard to have a king size bed in Vancouver. You end up, a lot of people.
There's no side tables, Adam. You lose your side tables.
Very tricky. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, there's a tip for some realtors out there too. When in doubt, lie on the floor.
Yeah, I was going to say, now suddenly you're going to have a lot more buyers. I'd pay to see it. Okay, so that was number three. Room sizes were smaller than they appeared in the marketing photos.
Yep.
I actually think, apart from the initial quibbles with that one, the takeaway is furnished is very useful.
Right.
Get the bed in there and use Adam as your buyer's agent.
Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
Hi, I'm Michael Yu.
And I'm Morgan Brown. And we're the founders of Oakland Realty. We have 9 offices across British Columbia,
serving all major markets of BC. If you're an agent out there, just like Adam and Matt, who happen to be licensed at Oakland, please reach out to us at oakland.com/join and type into that message box, the rep. And you'll receive a free gift and a promotion when you meet one of our leaders.
Thanks so much. And we're looking forward to meeting with you.
See you soon.
This podcast is sponsored by Jethro Condos in downtown Langley. Over 100 homes under $425,000 with one-bedroom suites starting at $399,900.
Here's what's incredible, Adam. These condos actually cash flow. When's the last time we could say that about new construction in the Lower Mainland? With these entry-level prices, the numbers actually work for investors.
And you're in the heart of downtown Langley, surrounded by trendy cafes, artisan bakeries, and parks. The area is experiencing incredible growth and new development.
Yeah, the location is absolutely key. Jethro is steps from the future Langley SkyTrain station. Get in before that transit connection transforms the area. Because once that SkyTrain arrives, you're looking at direct connections across the Lower Mainland.
Jethro is a Whitetail Homes project. Whitetail Homes has over 25 years of experience with quality construction and finishes that exceed expectations. We're talking vibrant interiors, expansive windows, and thoughtful design.
For realtors listening, they are offering amazing cooperative incentives. This is a rare opportunity where the fundamentals make sense. Affordable entry, cash flow potential, and positioned for major transit infrastructure, an all-around win.
Register at jethrocondos.ca. That's JETHRO condos.ca.
Jethro Condos, distinctly Langley, uniquely yours.
Number four, Adam, this came in at 36%. So 36% of respondents said this was a deal breaker. too much competition from other buyers.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is, to be clear, you know, this is this specific market, timestamp it, right? This is a 2025 midway through the year complaint.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's competition spurs buyers on, and it's not the case right now.
I also think it's, you know, here's like a reality check for, I think, a lot of buyers out there is that, yeah, okay, the market's soft, but still in demand, high, like, you know, tier one properties in good locations that are always supply constrained will sell in any market in Vancouver. Like, that's just the way it is. And we've had multiples on listings depending on what it is, but hey, there's a lot of product out there that's still in busier segments of the market where you're going to have to compete. So if your expectations, like this is what, when it actually really matters for understanding or having an agent that understands the sub-markets and sub-price bands and what's happening with activity there. Because just because a lot of sub-markets are soft, you know, there still are standout markets where there's a lot of activity, and also certain price bands where there's a lot of activity where you're still going to compete.
Well,
and you have to just be prepared to do that
in any market.
In any market. And guess what? Like, what we often have realized over the years, and I think there'll be a lot of agents probably nodding their heads along with this, but when you buy, when you have competition when you buy, usually you get competition when you sell. Like, tier one properties remain tier one.
Well, here's the thing to build on that point a little bit. If you go to the first two of these objections, neighboring homes in poor condition, lack of curb appeal, all the things we talked about, a great home on a great street.
Yeah.
They don't come up that often. If you look at the inventory in any neighborhood in East Vancouver right now, 6 out of the 10 homes are unlivable. Right. Nearly.
Now try and add, okay, I'm looking for a detached house on the east side. I need 3 bedrooms on one level.
Yeah.
You wipe out 70% of the houses.
Yeah.
I need something that has like a suite, you know, you wipe out another percentage. As you actually start looking at the stuff that is really like the true box ticker properties,
Always in high demand.
And they're always in
high demand. So it is, that's one useful point. The other thing I would say, I had a couple notes on this one, too much competition from other buyers, 36%. It is true right now. You're right. Multiples on certain things. In other cases, and I've been on the buy and list side with this happening, people are loath to compete right now. So what does that mean? If you're selling, in my mind, and you still do see the, I need 650 for this, I'm going to put it on at 599.
Sure.
That is not working right now. It is just not working.
It's a challenging, it's a risky, it can be, it's a riskier strategy.
But it's very rare to see it work, right? Like, you might get, if you put it on at 599, it's worth 650, you might get 610 and there might be two offers.
Well, we've seen a lot of that this year where people get multiples, but they still land under where probably market value.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, so you could have put it on at 649 and negotiated down.
You might have done better just being 649. You might.
Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, we got three offers. They're all terrible. What do we do now? Right. That's happening a lot. So
with that resistance, so careful about your marketing strategy.
Exactly. I'm saying, first of all, the low market value as an advertising marketing strategy, I don't think is working at all right now. Secondly, if you're writing, the flip side is, if you're a buyer, I should say, so many people are, oh, we're not interested in competing. And then as a listing agent, you're like, okay, I got one offer here. It's not good. Everybody wants to wait to see what happens. And I feel like you could, in certain cases, it's like you can still carve out a really good deal in a competition and walk away with a great property. And people are not interested in doing it. So my advice would be, if you're on the buy side, you know, you don't even have to put your best foot forward. You know, it used to be if you're in multiples, you put the best foot forward. You write whatever you want. You'd be surprised if there's 3-4 offers and they're all garbage and you have a kind of okay offer, you might be the winner.
And so, if you're getting a callback, you probably were a bit better than you thought you'd be.
Yeah. So I would say, but going back to this pricing below market, I do think in this market, you have to price ahead of the market. You have to be very sharp, but you definitely don't want to be priced at a price where you need multiples and the price to go above asking in order to sell it, because that strategy is almost 100% of the time, in my experience, is not working.
Let's move on. What is other takeaways from the survey findings?
Number five, Adam, with 28%. The home being too close to bars, restaurants, and stores. This might be a Canada-wide survey problem. I feel like that's less so the problem in certain submarkets in Vancouver. Although I do think it applies.
I think it's better. I think so. I would argue that multifamily, it's less important than it would be for like detached.
Yeah.
Detached buyers want, at least in the city of Vancouver, so thinking of the east side and the west side, and they want to be close to amenities generally, but not like right beside amenities. Like you don't want to have a commercial alley that your property is linked to. You also, you want it to feel residential when you go out your door, but you want to be able to say walk to like a main street or a 41st or whatever, right? Is that fair to say?
I would say that's absolutely fair. Residential feel, walking distance to great amenities.
But in multifamily,
to belabor the point here a little bit in the single family space. Now, a couple of weeks ago, you witnessed
a sex act
on the roof of a library. But the point was that house was the point I was going to make was that was facing into a commercial alley. So that was a single family home that probably wasn't going to work because you were literally looking into the back alley of a commercial space, which is at the best of times, not an attractive outlook.
Almost everybody that lives on a commercial alley has reservations about it, right? Because you end up, you more kind of people coming through, you end up with often commercial trucks, like loading kind of whether they're there for grocery stores or restaurants or whatever. There's more activity in them.
Yeah.
And it takes away from the residential feel. Now, multifamily though, I mean, there are certain things like, you know, flagging, like living above a restaurant per se, living too close. There's a certain bar. I'll just keep this one nameless so it doesn't target a specific building. But a lot of the units are right looking over a place where people from this bar go out to smoke cigarettes. And it's like a busy bar.
Yeah.
Anyways, but the point being that it's had a negative impact on sales in this building because of the proximity to this bar. So you want to take that. I think it's less important in multifamily, but you still want to be conscious of proximity to certain things. I always think about this in Yale Town. Like if you were living in one of like, say the heritage conversion buildings right above, I don't know, like on Hamilton or Mainland or somewhere where it's like, there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of people shouting. There's people smoking cigarettes or walking around late at night and they're drunk. That's a factor, right?
Yeah, it's a factor. It's a factor for sure. Almost 30% of respondents are not interested. You brought up Bear Bangers. I made a note here about Bear Bangers.
Well, I just
I'm not sure if everybody's familiar. I love Bear Bangers.
I love the Brava. And we're big fans of that building, but there was a moment there. I think it's gone, but there was a moment there around COVID where Granville Street backs on the Granville Street. So you have to be kind of there was a moment there where I think it was the Hojo. There was a lot of Bear Bangers going off, kind of consistently, right? And it was to the point that residents, I think, were kind of ripping their hair out, going like, "This is like absurd." Had a negative impact on the building, right?
Bars, restaurants, and stores, or hotels in this case.
Yes.
All right. That's the top five. We got three more notable turnoffs for home buyers in this market. 27% said deal breaker if the home was untidy.
Right.
This one seems obvious.
Well, I mean, we do the pre-open clean, like where we bring a move-in company or a company that does a move-out clean, basically. Like they're like wiping around the food in the fridge. They do appliances and everything else. I think a lot of agents hopefully are I would imagine doing something similar, like getting the house properly presentable. But man, clean versus like cleaning or the perception of clean when it comes to purchasing a property is very subjective.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that it's as clean as you can possibly get it. And that means like balconies, appliances, like windows, everything you can basically control that you can do, get it clean.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tragedy to think that something as simple as cleaning a house can turn off 6, 7, 8 of 10 people coming through.
Totally. But it creates an opportunity for buyers on the flip side, right? Because I mean, if you can look past that, if a property doesn't show the way it should, there might be an opportunity because 6 or 7 or 8 people
can't imagine themselves living there.
That space,
don't want to be there.
They're grossed out by it or whatever it is. So that's a huge, that can create a huge opportunity.
Adam, number 7, 18%. Now, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here, but I might say this, I was surprised this wasn't maybe a little higher. Unhelpful real estate agents. Only 2, so that means less than 2 out of 10 realtors are unhelpful.
From the perception of...
From the perspective of potential home buyers. So the negative interactions are few and far between by the sounds of it.
Doesn't surprise me. I think there's a
Remax did commission it, Adam.
Yeah, you know what though? I think the one thing is there's obviously a lot of great people in our industry, and there's also a lot of people that are really good at their jobs and making a place feel comfortable for buyers when they're touring properties. You know, I think a knowledgeable listing agent goes a long way. And I think that's for questions about the building, because if you don't have the correct answer, people's minds go to the worst place possible. Questions about the unit, like, is this dry or vented or not, or something that they can't see maybe, and they might assume the worst as well. So like having a real understanding and knowledge of how things were done in the home, the type of heating and cooling and everything, like really understanding what the systems are related to the property, how the strata is. Questions about strata, having reviewed the documents beforehand, is huge. But as a final thing would be just being pleasant, I think, because you can create a bad energy in a space that people pick up on, and that can have a negative impact on the sale of the property.
It is unbelievable the number of clients over the years who have commented on open house agents being on their phone to me. Like this guy was sitting there on his phone.
Didn't
engage, didn't introduce themselves. It created an unpleasant experience.
Yeah.
And when you think of, you know, as a seller, the things you have to worry about, right? And let's just go down the list. Neighboring homes in poor condition, lack of curb appeal. You're trying to control all of these things to get a successful sale. The fact that you have a realtor basically getting in the way, whether it's creating an awkward environment, an uncomfortable environment, not having the information they need about the property, or just creating a situation that most people want to get away from. It's like you think dirt on the floor is bad. It's just stuff you can control that is really unfortunate.
I remember years when this was probably 15 years ago or so, but an agent saying to me, if you don't have the right answer about a property, just say, I don't want to give you bad information. Let me get back to you on this. Get back to them or their agent.
Yeah.
I wish more agents would do this. I think probably across the country, because I think what people often do is they scramble or they make an assumption and they give the incorrect answer. And then it either sways a buyer in a different direction, or the buyer loses trust in maybe everything that was said about the property.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't want to give you bad information. Let me get back to you on that. It would probably go a long way in buyer perception at open houses.
It's not too much to ask to be somewhat knowledgeable and prepared and to be pleasant.
Sure.
I think these are reasonable requests.
And I think most agents are.
So well, you know what? Let's put it this way. 82%.
Yeah.
Especially and that's across the country. Yeah. And I would say, I'd say Vancouver bats above its weight in this category. Last but not least, Adam, the final with 11% deal breakers for 11% of the buyers out there in mid-2025. Sellers being present during showings.
Oh, man, control your sellers. Get them out of the house. And also tenants.
Also,
you can't control the tenants.
Okay, you can control the tenants. That we'll talk about tenants in a second. Let's just quickly say, the only sellers I think that stick around, in my experience,
work from home, maybe.
Yeah, but I feel like they're also potentially, they might skew a little older and have a lot of knowledge about the property and think they're adding value.
No, there's no.
But I mean, no, it's terrible. That's not a value add. I'm saying those are the people who stick around.
I know. I think you got to give here's the thing. We have people depersonalize their property for a reason. You want the buyer to imagine the space as their own. That's a huge part of the battle. And so you remove personal photos. You don't want to walk into a property that you're seeing and imagining your family being in or whatever, and you look up and you see another family there. Immediately, you feel like you're in someone else's space. Now, imagine seeing that family or the seller at the table and having a bite to eat,
yeah.
or walking you through like this is where I had
or
my,
telling you all sorts of
this is where I asked minutia, my wife to marry
yeah, or minutia about yeah. like when they painted the the baseboards 3 years ago and
communicate
how
it's had
so
much
value.
Agent, have your agent provide even a breakdown information sheet on the property if you want to make sure that they hit on everything that you think is important, but. You got to get out of the property.
Get out of the property. With tenants, it's a little bit more challenging. And that's a huge issue if you have tenants it's hard to get
present.
Access and then they just don't leave. I mean, and from a buying perspective, I think that creates a huge opportunity because there's certain things you can imagine with certain investors trying to sell properties with problematic tenants or tenants that just don't understand and are either actively trying to scuttle a sale or just those people, it creates opportunities as a buyer for
sure.
Well,
this has been one of the biggest, if you think about all of the policy and changes that have happened, this is an opportunity that's come out of it, that the BC Residential Tenancy Act has created an opportunity for buyers of tenanted properties because there are now so many buyers that are hesitant to buy a tenanted property because they're concerned about being able to get vacant possession.
Yeah.
And two, because so many tenants now feel that there's no incentive to make the place presentable.
No incentive that it's actually, I see it from both sides, but that that it's actively infringing on their rights for the property to be sold.
So to make have a negative impact on the sale of the property is another thing. So it creates a buying opportunity. If someone's willing to buy and either inherit a tenant or plan to move
in. Yeah, often a case month-to-month tenancies that
provide notice and plan to have it as their principal residence or whatever. There are huge opportunities there in this current climate.
Absolutely. And those properties are sticking around right now.
For sure.
That is... And we shout out to Remax Canada for that. For the content this week. That was great. I enjoyed it. I think those were some interesting home buyer deal breakers right now.
Yeah. And we'll see you on the other side, man.
So there you have it, folks. Our discussion about the 8 top deal breakers for potential buyers across the Canadian landscape.
Yeah, no, really enjoyed just going over those and useful study, I think, and lots of takeaways for sure.
Some of it was timeless. Some of it was pretty specific to 2025.
I think so.
It was a great list.
Yeah, no, for sure. Matt, what else do we got for before we cut for the day?
What else do we have? We have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, Adam. That's our website where all things real estate related live. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for things like the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer. Deal of the month, stats, different types of stats, sales ratios, where you can dig into a submarket. As we've discussed this week and at other times, price point and submarket is key to understanding this market. You get that with the LiveWire. We also have, of course, tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Just click buy with us and you can sign up for your own free account. No better time to be monitoring the market. And what's inventory going to do in September? We're starting to feel like the sales volume across the country is stabilizing.
Yeah.
And
in Vancouver too. So we'll see cresting inventory. We'll see if that remains.
Yes, we'll see. And very exciting fall market to keep an eye on.
Yeah, September is going to be the tell.
It will be the tell. And Matt, how can people get in touch with you?
You can get in touch at any point, 778-847-2854 or matt@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line, Adam. info@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
Well, have a great week. Stay cool. Oof. And there might be some rain this weekend, actually, I think. So we'll see. TBD.
We'll deal with it. It will be all right. See you next week.
Take care.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.